It really is great to see this audience here this morning. We're so thankful that each of you is here. I've already taken a great deal of kidding. I've had several say, because we could not go anywhere else, we're going to have to listen to you today. But let me say something to you. I think it's great that we can have a group like this together. I was just sitting here a moment ago thinking about the influence that the people in this auditorium and this building this morning can have for the cause of Christ. And we need to be together in our work even when we're not able to be together in the same building on a Sunday morning. I appreciate what's planned for the college for this week. And I want those of you that are here that are teachers to know that we hold your hands up as you're teaching God's Word in the classroom, and for that matter, as you're teaching our young people anything that will help them to be more productive citizens and more productive Christians. And I personally appreciate the fact that many of my fellow gospel preachers are in the audience this morning. We have a good relationship in this area, and I'm thankful for that. It is imperative that all the congregations in this area mutually encourage each other. And I think we see a good spirit of cooperation. I meet with our elders almost every Sunday afternoon. In the time that I've been here, I have never yet heard either one of them say anything negatively about the work at Fried Hardeman and the work of the church in this general area. And I appreciate that attitude, and I think it is so important. And I just want all of you who are here from other congregations this morning to know how much we appreciate what you're doing. Those of you who are preaching and those of you who are working in other ways, we have a great work in this area. All of us, in working together, can accomplish a great deal in the Lord's kingdom. Tonight at 6 o'clock, I'll be using the subject, Call Him John. If you can, come back and be with us at that time. We'd be happy to have you. Once a man, twice a child. You've heard that statement many times, haven't you? But I suggest to you this morning that there is a sense in which we ought to always be like a child. There are some interesting verses of Scripture found in the latter part of 1 Corinthians. At chapter 13, verse 11, Paul said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." In the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." In the 16th chapter at verse 13 and 14, where we have given what's sometimes called the five great duties of a Christian life, one of those in the King James Version is, "Quit ye like men." Translated in other versions, "Behave yourself like men," or in a mature way. You well remember, I'm sure, also that at Matthew 18, 2 and 3, Jesus, having called a little child to him, set that child in his midst and said to the adults around him, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no way enter into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven." Folks, the only way that all these passages can be brought together without any conflict, and we believe that they can, is to draw the conclusion that there is a difference in being childish and being childlike. There is a sense in which some of us, as we grow older, are childish. And that's the setting from whence cometh the idea of once a man, twice a child. We'll sometimes suggest that a person has gone into their second childhood, meaning that they've grown out of the childhood into adulthood and now have turned around and going back to where they're acting childish. And sometimes it doesn't take our getting into the older years to even get into that second childhood. On the other hand, some of the finest characteristics and attitudes and attributes that can be found with any person anywhere is found with a little child. An attitude, a way of life that should never be changed, no matter how old we may become. For just a few minutes this morning, I want to suggest to you some childlike characteristics that we ought to keep, and then some childish ways that we should put aside as we discuss the subject, childlike, to be or not to be. One of these is given to us in 1 Corinthians 14:20. one of the characteristics that needs to be kept. Notice he says, in malice, be ye children. Have you noticed that a little child does not hold a grudge very long? There is little room, if any, in a child's heart for a feeling of malice toward anyone else, at least to retain that feeling of malice. Oh, that child may get as angry as anybody else. He may get what we sometimes call fighting mad. But just a little bit later, he has forgotten that there was ever any problem and has no feeling of malice whatsoever in his heart. Would it not be wonderful if we could have that kind of attitude as we grow older and keep that kind of attitude? Peter informed those to whom he was writing in 1 Peter 2:1 to put away malice from among yourselves. And he was talking to adults there, folks. Put away malice. Don't harbor it in your heart. Don't keep it in your heart. Somewhat along this same line is the fact that a child is very forgiving. Sometimes when a child has been wronged, maybe in a very bad way, and that child sees that things have changed, he will forgive and usually will forget. There may be some exceptions to that when a child is really harmed so badly. But usually, even though someone has done something wrong, that child is willing to forgive and to forget and not hold that against that person. Paul said in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Haven't you known of instances where people would claim to be Christians, one come in and sit on one side of the building, one on the other side, and never speak to each other? A few years ago, I went with another preacher to a city in Georgia where two congregations were at odds with one another. One had started, or as we sometimes say, split off from the other. And there were such feelings among those people that they told us that they would pass on the street, on the sidewalk, and turn their heads to keep from speaking to each other. One person from one congregation going this way, one from the other congregation coming this way, literally would turn their heads away from each other to keep from speaking to each other. I wonder how they think they can walk on the street of gold with an attitude like that. We need that childlike characteristic, that forgiving attitude. Folks, the heart of a Christian is not big enough to have in it enough love for people and for God, and at the same time to hold a feeling of malice or an unforgiving spirit. An older man who had a grudge against someone else and who had not forgiven was on his deathbed. Preacher was asked to go talk to him. He said, "Brother," whatever his name was, "you know that you don't have long to live. You know this needs to be straightened out. Let me help you forgive this person and let's straighten it out." The man's statement was this: "I'd rather die and go to hell than forgive him. It's not my place to judge, but based on the teaching of the Bible, I believe that's exactly what he did." If he could not bring himself to have that childlike attitude of forgiveness, never holding a grudge and never having any attitude of malice. Another childlike attitude that's needed is the attitude of joy and happiness. Most little boys and girls are happy if we will let them be, if we do not cause problems for them. They will go about singing or laughing, or when they're old enough, whistling, because they're happy at what's going on around them. Sometimes as we get a little older, part of it's because of the responsibilities that come with maturing, but part of it because we lose that childlike spirit. We fail to be as happy. We are more disappointed, or disappointed more easily. We sometimes despair. We sometimes are discouraged and even look sad most of the time. The Bible tells us that we as Christians of all people ought to have our hearts filled with joy. An Ethiopian eunuch was baptized in Acts 8. He went on his way rejoicing. When the Philippian jailer became a Christian in Acts 16, came back into the house rejoicing. There was joy at the time they became Christians. And we find James saying in James 1, verses 2 and 3, in that part of the chapter, that even in the time of trials and tribulations and temptations and problems, we as Christians can count it all joy. In the early history of the church, the apostles and those with them counted it a joy that they were considered worthy to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Much of our unhappiness would be overcome if we could retain that childlike attitude of joy and hearts filled with goodness. And then there is that need for trust. A little boy or girl will trust an adult, sometimes even trust a stranger. And there is an element of danger in this that needs to be discussed at another time. But generally speaking, that little boy or girl is just as trusting as he can be. He'll trust everything that he has with his father or his mother or his friend because he believes in that father or mother or friend.
Folks, we ought never to give up these childlike characteristics. to forgive, filling our hearts with joy and trust and sympathy and with no prejudice, we'll never outgrow those needs. But there are some childish actions which could be outgrown. And it was to these that Paul was referring when he said, when I was a child, I spake, understood, and thought like a child, but when I became a man, I put away some childish things. And in understanding, be ye men, he said, not children. So there are some childish attitudes where we need to change as we go older and grow out of those. Let me share with you just a few of these, and I'm sure you can think of others. Most children have a tendency to blame others for their faults, or to point out a fault of another to cover up his own. Now, I'm experienced on this point. We had four teenagers at home at the same time. All of our children are close together. And I can remember many a time when something was said by one of the parents to a child about something, that here was the answer. And don't use English professor's diagram there, so think about it. But the idea was, he done it. Or he did worse than I did, pointing a finger at somebody else. That happens many times with younger children. But you know, it also happens too many times with those of us as adults. I suppose that this just reminds us that we're all descendants of Adam and Eve. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve, what happened? The first Adam, what happened? Eve did it. Eve, what about the serpent did it? We need to outgrow that kind of idea. And especially trying to blame someone else or look at someone else instead of accepting our own fault. Many times in the work of the church, when godly elders will go to some member who has a problem and try to help that member, the member will say, I'm no worse than somebody else. That's being childish. And that's one of the very reasons that we don't grow faster than we do in the Lord's kingdom. Another childish attitude that needs to be put away is pouting when one doesn't get his way. You've seen many a child do that, haven't you? I'll take my bat and ball and go home if you don't let me be the pitcher. Or if I don't get to play exactly where I want to, I'll get over here in the corner and turn around and pout about it if I don't get my way. How many adults have you seen act like that? One of the things that happens in areas where there are several congregations, and I've seen this happen in Tullahoma and other places where I've been, is members of the church who stay disgruntled at somebody and pouting about something all the time and jumping from one place to another, never satisfied and usually never involved in the Lord's work, except in the self-appointed involvement of criticism. Pouting if they don't get their way.
Now, folks, I'm not talking about dealing with doctrinal matters where God has spelled it out. But I'm talking about dealing with the day-to-day activities that involve common sense and good judgment. There is just not any room in the Lord's kingdom for pouters who act like children in that sense. Neither is there any place, any rightful place in the Lord's church for those that pass the buck. Again, I feel somewhat experienced on this point as far as the family is concerned. I can remember many a time telling one of mine to do something and he'd say, let her do it or let him do it. You start with the oldest one sometimes and you go down to the youngest one and then the youngest one would forget to do it. But how many times does that happen as far as the Lord's church is concerned, where we do not accept our responsibilities? We're always saying, let George do it. We've got a new wrinkle on that now since our president is George. We're always saying, let somebody else do it, passing the buck. When Peter was told in John 21 to feed the sheep and feed the lambs, you know what he said? Instead of saying, I'll be glad to, show me how to do a better job, he looked over at John and said to the Lord, what about John? In other words, why don't you tell him what to do? Jesus said, what matter is it to you, Peter, if John remains till I come? He didn't say he would. He said, what would it matter if he did? And was saying, Peter, you need to do your work and you need to accept your responsibility instead of pointing out what somebody else ought to be doing. One of the problems with being a child is a failure to accept responsibility. That's something that has to be taught. And I'm afraid in too many instances, some of us have never learned it yet. The childish attitude of jealousy and envy has no place with an adult. Envy is said to be the rottenness of the bones in Proverbs 14 and verse 30. Have you ever been present around a Christmas tree or at a party when several children were there and got gifts? Here's a child, he's got 8 or 10 gifts, but he looks over and there's one thing over here that this other child has, and that's just exactly what he wants. He can't see what he has and the value of them because he wants that that belongs to someone else. So many of us as adults have problems in our daily lives with that very attitude. We're always looking at what someone else has and trying to keep up with the Joneses till we make it difficult for the Joneses to keep up. Always wanting what somebody else has. One of the reasons we're not any happier today is because we have not sat down to count our blessings and to realize how much we have and use what we have instead of being envious and jealous of somebody else. That's a childish attitude. Then there's that attitude of being bored. I suppose we'll really see this in the next few days if there's no school. Children can't wait to get out of school, and then about the second hour into the day that they're out, what am I going to do? I don't have anything to do. If any of you parents need any help on that, I can help you. I have some things they can do if you don't. But bored. And the attitude develops, my parents owe me entertainment. And they owe me service. Why, they ought to just jump tonight and have something right out there in front of me all the time. The sad thing about it is that we go into adulthood and that stays with us many times. And instead of being Christ-like, as illustrated in his washing his disciples' feet, and realizing that true Christianity is in serving instead of a gimme-gimme here and a gimme-gimme there, we keep those childish characteristics and never mature to be the servants of Christ that we ought to be. And I suppose somewhat summing these ideas up is the attitude of putting things off, procrastination. That's a childish characteristic. Most children do that. You ask him to clean up his room, and I will. You ask him, and back when I was growing up, it was go bring in a load of stove wood. I will. And then the fire would go out, and the stove wood hadn't been brought in. And that graduates into term papers a little bit later on. And then into some other things a little bit later on. I will, at 11 or 12 o'clock tonight before it's due, unless I can beg the teacher to let me have a little extra time. Folks, that's the idea of putting things off. A lack of responsibility, a lack of accepting responsibility, a lack of conviction to really get the job done. The Bible says today, this hour, now, is the day of salvation. Do today what needs to be done. Tomorrow we'll have sufficient problems and responsibilities in and of itself. These are some childish attitudes that we need to put aside. And so you see, that's why these verses in 1 Corinthians toward the latter part of the book could say, in some ways be like a child, in other ways grow out of childhood and mature and get where you can use some of that strong meat instead of being on milk diet all of your life, as described in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. In those areas that are childish, let's grow up. Let's accept our responsibility by becoming Christians and living as Christians. But in those areas that are childlike, let's keep that humility and that love and trust and joy and sympathy and open minds with no prejudice as long as we live. Because we'll never outgrow childlike characteristics. We just need to give up childish attitudes and be men. Remember one of the verses that we noticed in the outset of the lesson? Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. I think we better understand that now. And I believe if you're here today and not a Christian, that you'll see the need of becoming childlike in humility and obedience and trust, and obeying your Lord, either in being baptized into him or in being restored to your first love. That's the kind of childlikeness that God wants and you need. And the kind we encourage you to have by responding as together we stand in front. Thank you.
45. My faith, Lord, taught to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. This day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. My zeal inspire, as thou hast done for me. Oh, may my love to thee just warm and changeless be a living
time. Greg Pollock comes this morning to ask for our prayers, and Brother Oldham, one of our elders, will lead us as we pray. He says, I've had a lot of things on my mind lately. I've let insignificant things get me down. I've let things come in the way of putting God first. I need your prayers and encouragement. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father, we are grateful that we can come to thee again on behalf of this our brother who has confessed the weaknesses, sins, shortcomings. We pray that thou will forgive him, and we have confidence that thou wilt because of his penitence, and that he's acknowledged these, and that together we are asking his forgiveness. If we have aught against him, may we forgive. We know that the forgiveness is a condition of being forgiven ourselves. Not only for him do we pray, but for all of us, Father, because all of us stand in need of being forgiven, even of those secret things that may be within our hearts. And may we make these right that are known to others. And should there be public matters, that we too will be willing and bold enough to acknowledge them. So not only bless him, that he may be a blessing to others, but be with all of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Songs for the Lord's Supper will be number 639. 639.
My quiz have opinion brooded o'er the veil. All around was silent, save the night wind.
are we here? We've come this morning for a number of reasons. We're a spiritual family of faith, and we have gathered together to be together. It's always appropriate for the family to gather. We've come to study, and we've come to share and to worship, to sing and to pray together and for each other. But in Scripture, the primary purpose of our gathering is that we might commune together and with our Lord, that we might remember his death, his burial. We might share in his body and in his blood. We remember his death, Scripture says, until he comes. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship. We thank you now for this bread which represents the body of our Lord. We thank you for your sacrifice and for his sacrifice. And as we commune together with you and with our Lord Jesus and with each other, may each Christian partake in a way worthy of the solemnity of this sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.